And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I tell you, Brother Ken, you always do a good job. I normally look at the bulletin when I read it. I don't always read it to see what we're seeing, and I read it kind of to look over and just check behind Allison, and we work together on just proofreading and that type stuff. But I had been in my study this week, and I had actually had the number down of 405. And it's actually kind of the title of the message, Faith is the Victory. So I've been singing and thinking about that song, especially the last several days, just as I began to get ready, thought about what to say and how to preach and direct this message. But we do see in this text that faith is the victory, and that in Christ, the object of our faith, we see one who has conquered, one who has overcome, and these people that the writer of Hebrews that are reading and being taught this lesson, the author here is really encouraging and motivating the audience to stay the course. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The ones that have gone before you have overcome. They've conquered. They've overcome the sword. They've shut the mouths of lions. All these things that they have done has been a result of faith in God. And God granted them victory. And then there's some actually in that list that they suffered great affliction and even died at the sword. But still, faith was the victory. Whether we overcome in this life or overcome in the next life, putting our faith in Christ is the key. So I want to read with you. If you would stand with me, we're going to read Hebrews 11, 32 through 35. Hebrews 11, 32 through 35. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who though through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Father, would you help us to see, Lord, your power, your glory. May we see and understand and know of the change that's been wrought of those who trusted you, God, the power of your Spirit to transform lives. God, may we be motivated like the saints of old by looking at the examples of these heroes of the faith that God looked to you and took your word seriously and acted accordingly. God, we know that your word says without faith it's impossible to please God. So one thing these characters had in common is they placed their faith in you and in your power. They were weak, but you were made strong in their weakness. God, they were at times afraid and would still step forward in believing you, God, and you would do amazing, amazing things. So God, help us to be motivated, to be encouraged, to be strengthened in our faith. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So faith is the victory. Also, I thought it would be good. Faith is the key. Faith is the key. Faith is the victory. And looking at that verse, that text there in 405, we sing that song. But did you look at the words we sang? Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of His children. Never alone are the least of His children. Now, of course, we know and love it. It goes, have faith in God. He's on His throne. So as I get ready to take you back to the text, just simple applicable points that we need to think about when I encourage you to have faith in God is to believe that God is the creator of this universe and that He stands, though He's active in it, He stands above it, ruling and reigning over this sovereign, with His sovereign hand over all of creation. And he's intimately acquainted with all of our ways. Now, that is a mystery to me. But we have faith in God because he's on his throne. Then he goes on to say, he watches over his own. As I said, the psalmist, he's intimately acquainted with all of our ways. He watches over his own, knowing if Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He protects us. He leads us. He guides us. He strengthens us. He directs us. The characters I'm fixed to tell you about, mostly judges here, and then we see the prophets of Samuel, and David sometimes is considered a prophet, but David is also a king. Samuel was a judge and a prophet, the last of the prophets, the last of the judges, but one of the first of the prophets. Remember Samuel? We see here these characters. None of these guys were perfect. And the writer's not heralding their personal lives, because if you looked at their personal lives, some of them made a lot of mistakes, and we could talk about their mistakes. But that's somewhat encouraging to me, because God used them despite their mistakes. They conquered kingdoms. They overcame. It was amazing to see that, you know, they, in the face of enemies, they stood true. They believed God. They would shut the mouths of lions. You could see there in the text that Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, then David and Samuel. Hopefully stories come to mind when you read these names. But it says that they enforced justice. They upheld righteousness. And he goes on to say here, they quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were made strong out of weakness. They became mighty in war, put foreign enemies and armies to flight. So they were not perfect. The writer would not herald their personal lives. The writer's raising up their faith. And I can't help but think that says that if you have faith of a mustard seed, as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall move mountains. Guys, believing in God, he's the object of our faith. You know, just looking at some of your lives and hearing the testimonies and hearing the testimony of that song, which was so fitting, we think about God's power to transform lives. Do you believe that? When we sing of having faith in God, when we sing about how he overcomes, how he changes lives, he transforms, do you believe that he is able and that he overcomes? Do you believe it enough to where you share your faith with your friend? That it's no secret what God can do. Have faith in God. When your prayers are unanswered, your earnest plea, he will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word and be patient. Trust his word and be patient. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what does it say? Somebody get me started, I'll help you. Trust in the Lord with what? Just a little bit of your heart? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Lean not on what? Your own understanding? But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Faith waits on the Lord. Remember we talked about Sarah. She got a little hasty. Faith believes. Even Abraham, even Moses, some of the ones we looked at, they wanted to speed things up and do it their way. We saw some of the consequences of us not waiting and trusting and being patient. So it says, be patient, have faith in God, he'll answer yet. He's on his throne, he watches over his own, he cannot fail. And here's where I stopped a while ago. He cannot fail. I'm glad I'm not putting my trust in, I'll say this so I don't offend you Alabama fans, but I'm glad I'm not trusting in Mississippi State's football team. I'm glad I'm not trusting in Auburn's football team. I'm glad I'm not trusting in Alabama's football team. Because even though it's not very often that Alabama fails, sometimes they fail by the measure of success of winning, right? Our God never fails. He must prevail. He's on his throne and he watches over his own. Remember that scarlet cord that I pointed you to last week that was hanging in Rahab's house above the door there, representing the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you how not to fail in life. Place your faith, put your hand in the nail-scarred hand. What else does the song say? Place your faith in him, right? I wish I could sing that song for you. It kind of guides it. Not that I would sing it to you, but I could quote some of those lines. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Why? Because he cannot fail. He must prevail. He has prevailed. He has conquered. So when we think about conquering kingdoms, I can't help but to think about Jesus conquering the kingdom of Satan and all of his evil cronies that look to be so victorious. When we think about shutting the mouths of the fierce lions, and we think about Daniel and Shadrach and Abednego, when we think about Daniel in the lion's den, when we think about Samson that destroyed the lion, when we think about David that says that God delivered him from the lion, when we think about shutting the mouths of the lions, we think about the one who overcomes, the Lion of Judah. We think about the one that says that all victory is mine, the one that Ken read that leads us to a living hope, that sure and certain we can have confidence in the one alone who has overcome every enemy. And we've seen our greatest enemies overcome and trampled under his feet. In Genesis 3, we see a picture of that old serpent and that head of Jesus crushing the head of the serpent as we look and think about the cross and him overcoming the grip and power and penalty of sin. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. We see here that faith wins. Faith overcomes. Faith conquers. I like what it says here. This is a lot of times this is the way I feel when I'm trying to preach, and I know y'all are going to laugh about this. I know I got a little long-winded last week, and Hal had to tell me when I said, I got a little long-winded. Hal kind of smirked and said, you got real long-winded, right? Brother Hal, I went long, didn't I? Sometimes I feel like this writer of Hebrews, I don't have the time to tell y'all I want to tell you. This writer says, time don't even allow us the time to tell you all the stories. And he just lists a few of the guys. And it's kind of interesting, the guys he's listing here. Now, we've already got through with Abel and Enoch and Moses and Abraham, some of the real patriarchs of the faith. But now he gets to some guys like Jephthah, who says, I'll go, Deborah, He says, I'll go, Deborah. And she summoned him to go fight the Midianites and said, but will you go with me? He wanted the lady to go with him, right? Nothing wrong with having, you know, my wife. I want her to go with me a lot of places and, you know, come on and go with me, and I need you. But when it comes to when God commissions us and tells us to do something, we need to be bold and confident. Deborah, will you go with me? I'm a little bit scared. Deborah says, sure, I will, but you know what? The glory's not going to be given to you. Ultimately, but he's written right here, Barak. His name's written in this hero hall of faith, this hall of fame of these faithful men and women. What about Samson? Now, when we think about Samson, I think about a lot of negative. I mean, he didn't uphold his Nazarite vow. We know all of a sudden we think about a man that's very strong. I mean, he takes a bunch of foxes and lights their tails on fire and runs them through the wheat fields. And I'd love that story. You know, I don't know if I've told you that story, buddy. And these foxes just go destroy all the grains and the crops of the enemies of God. You know, and then the story at the end, would you kill more people, it says, in his death than he did in his life? 3,000 people, even after he had some downfalls, and we know that the strength was his long hair and his Nazarite and doing the things and being faithful to God. And Delilah suckered him in and found the strength, and she called her people of Philistia and this pagan. You know, the Bible says don't marry, you know, what good is, you know, stay faithful to God's people, and they were to marry within the Israelite camp, but he wanted to marry a Philistine lady. Well, it came back to bite him. She stood true to her people, and she found out his strength, and she tricked him, And sure enough, they cut his hair and they captured him, gouged out his eyes and put him in jail and prison. And they were having a big festival just to make a mockery out of him, I guess. And he prayed and asked God one last time to give him the strength to prevail. And here we are. This Samson is commended because in his death, they put him in the temple and he's able to get his hands on the pillars of the temple. And that brother takes the temple pillars and pushes them down. We need some linebackers on our football team like that, don't we, Coach Ward? I mean, he just takes these arms and just pushes the pillars down and falls on 3,000 Philistines. And He's commended because of his faith in God here. Gideon, the weakest of the weak from the tribe of Manasseh, without threshing wheat in the wheat press. Angel appears to him, and Gideon in his weak faith says, but tell me, make sure, help me, make sure. I'm going to put a fleece out, and if the fleece is wet, I'll go. Fleece is wet. Next morning he said, well, I don't know. It could have just been something supernatural happened. Let the ground be around the fleece be wet, and I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. Next morning the ground around the fleece was wet, and the fleece was dry. Okay. So he sees and he finally believes in his weak faith. God used him, and 32,000 went to 22,000. And then he said, Gideon, you got too many people. You and 300 people, I want to overcome this Midianite army that's got 135,000 to 150,000 people. Will you trust and believe and obey? I want to use you to tear down your father's Asherah poles and these pagan images. They need to be brought down. Gideon, will you do it? Gideon was faithful. Weak faith, but remember, his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. And we see God accomplish a huge army, and then there's 40 years of peace under Gideon. Now, there's some other stories and moral lapses, and all these guys, I'm telling you, I could find you and show you more bad than I can good. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, remember these people. They believed God. Guys, I got a lot of problems. I make a lot of mistakes. But I hope at the end of the day somebody can say that he believed God and he obeyed and he wanted to lead a church that believed in God. He wanted to lead a church that believed that we could do the things God calls us to do. He believed, though he made some mistakes and though he wasn't perfect, he wanted to point us to the one who overcame by his blood. And it says that all can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We point people to Jesus who says that we are overcomers. We do conquer kingdoms. We do pursue righteousness and execute justice because our life is hid in the one who overcame. Our life is in tune with the one who, as the Word tells us this morning, that the doctrine and duty is what God leads us to. The main goal of the Scriptures is to lead us to believe rightly in the Word, in who God is. The second thing this Word of God does, it helps us with our duty in being obedient in accord with who God is and what He calls us to do. That's faith. Believe in God. Faith is the victory. Faith is the key that unlocks the door. That sounds kind of worldly, don't it? But it is. That's what these people, a lot of people conquer kingdoms. A lot of people overcome. A lot of people are powerful warriors. A lot of people that maybe can shut the lions' mouths. But by faith, these people, that's the ingredient that kept them all on the same page, right? By faith, it was because of faith, it is what they did in faith. Gideon's faith seemed to be weak at times, but patiently worked with him and strengthened his faith to the point that he could carry out God's mission. Gideon's obedience to the Lord required him to take a stand against his own father and his own tribe. He feared what would happen when he tore down his father's idol in Judges 6, but it is evident he feared God much more. In battle, Gideon took a far greater odd than seemed possible, but he knew where his strength lay. What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? The sovereign God is faithful, and he saw Gideon through the battle to victory. Gideon also showed humility when the Israelites wanted to honor him as their king. Gideon's a good example of those who trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not on their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge him, and he will direct their past. Gideon's also a good example of God using ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. But the key to Gideon's success was his willingness to obey God. He went from being a man in hiding at the foot of a hill in the wheat threshing area to vanquishing the same enemy in battle. However, he was careful to ensure that it was God's will he was obeying. And that was kind of what I told you. He was a little weak there and had to put the fleece out and everything. But lessons from Deborah and Barak. I keep saying Barak, B-A-R-A-K. How do y'all say that? I think I say Barak sometimes and Barak sometimes. But God often calls people to step out in faith to attempt the unexpected. God often uses unlikely people as sources to accomplish His plans, and God sometimes requires great risk and effort on behalf as part of His divine plan. Faith sometimes calls us to risk our lives in war. God's in control of the nations and changes their leaders according to His desires. Samson, we talked about that. We talked a little bit about Samson. He pushed with all his might, the scripture says, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Samson killed more when he died, about 3,000 Philistines, than while he lived. He was mentioned in this Faith Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith. At the same time, I told you he was a man of flesh, and his many mistakes served as a warning to those who would play with fire and expect not to get burned. Samson's life also shows us that we need to rely on God's strength, not our own. Following God's will, not our own stubbornness, and seeking the Lord's wisdom, not our own understanding. Jephthah. Now, what do we know about Jephthah? Jephthah. Old Jephthah. What do y'all know about Jephthah? Had to go back. I knew a little bit about Jephthah, but needed to go back and refresh up on old Jephthah. Y'all say that with me? Jephthah? Jephthah. Y'all getting kind of quiet on me. Jephthah. All right, Jephthah. All right, let me tell you about Jephthah. God called him to do a certain task, and in his haste, he went and he did what God would ask him to do. But he made a vow. He'd be very careful with our vows. Remember, he made a vow that if God would help him overcome and win this battle, when he went back home, the first thing that came out of the house, he would offer as a sacrifice to God. Y'all remember that? I guess he expected it to be an animal. It was his one and only child, a daughter, that came out as he went home. She came out to congratulate him and was so excited to see her father. And her father immediately had to tell her what he made in haste, this vow that he made. And she encouraged him to be faithful with this vow, but she asked, "Would you give me 2 months to go up in the hill country and mourn?" And she went with some of her friends and went and mourned for 2 months. And then she would come down and Jephthah would follow through on his vow. It's interesting to see things like that in the scriptures, isn't it? I know, Anna. Some things it's just hard to understand. It's not a time for me to preach on this, but Jephthah's commended because of his faith. What lessons can we learn from Jephthah? God can use us regardless of our background. We cannot change where we came from. Jephthah was a son of a harlot. We cannot change where we come from, yet God can use us in great ways despite our past. Second, we aren't to make rash commitments or promises to God. In Jephthah's case, he lost his only child over such an action. Third, even when we do the right thing, we may have to endure hardship from others. Jephthah certainly had to endure trouble from the people of Ephraim, despite his being empowered by God's Spirit to free Gilead from the Ammonites. You know, that was another thing about Jephthah. He represented the tribe of Gilead. He went into to war and overcame, I guess it was the people of Midian. And the people of Ephraim got mad. Said, "Why didn't you include us?" It ultimately caused a war. And gosh, the scripture tells us, I didn't write it down, but I want to say 40,000 Ephraimites died in this battle between Gilead and Ephraim. The scriptures are full of stories and of God's power and of man's weakness and man's mistakes and God's transformation and God's bringing us where we need to go and further mistakes and Him getting us out of our messes and putting us back on the right course. And through it all, we see a story of redemption. We see a story of hope. Jephthah, he would endure trouble from people of Ephraim despite his being overpowered by God's Spirit to free Gilead from the Ammonites. So it's Ammonites, not Midianites. Go on to the next verse. Let's look at the next verse. Let's look at verse 32 or 33. Let me see here. Say 33. So it says, and you know, just for the sake of time, we know a lot about David. Some of the things I'm going to mention, David would be in the writer's mind when he would overcome the sword and things like that. But it says, so David and Samuel were included in that. But let's look at verse 33. Who through faith, these people, they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, they obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And we'll stop there for 1 second. So, in looking at that, some of the things that that they would do, every Christian who has accomplished great things for God has known this truth and the very foundation of what they did. And believing by God and trusting Him and acting accordingly and obeying Him. Robert Morris, the great pioneer missionary to China, was asked, do you really expect to make an impact on that great land? He replied, no, sir, but I expect God to. George Mueller's biography wrote of him, his biographer wrote of him, nothing is more marked in George Mueller to the very day of his death than this, that he so looked to God and learned and leaned on God that he felt himself to be nothing and God everything. I tell you, that autobiography of George Mueller is amazing to see that at times these little orphans, all these orphanages, he lived at faith. He lived and believed, and every day he would pray all night that the milkman would show up and the bread man would show up because the kids were hungry. And the next morning they would sit at the tables with their plates waiting on the milkman and the bread man to hopefully show up, which he believed he would because he prayed in great faith. And the milkman, somebody would break down, the milk truck would break down, and they would ship all the milk there to the orphans to enjoy it. And the bread truck would stop in, and somebody would come, and he had a place to put out money each day. People that could come, and he prayed for that, the money they needed to support those orphanages, and he trusted God. He believed God, and he knew that, hey, the jar is empty and there's not a lot of food and the kids are getting hungry, but God hadn't failed us yet, and He's not going to. Why? Because He must prevail. He conquers, He overcomes. And George Mueller's whole life was a powerful testimony that God provides what we need when we need it. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to inland China, said, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. The text is fixed to tell us that we're very weak, but God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Philippians tells us that, as Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. It's kind of a glorious tenet of people that walk by faith, as we know the object is the one who prevails, Jesus. We know the object of our faith is the one who overcomes. We know it's by His strength we win, we succeed, we overcome and have overcome because we put our hand in the nail-scarred hand. So these great missionaries believed God. What are you trusting God for right now that's beyond your comfort zone or human ability? Let's just get practical a minute. What are you trusting God for? What are you believing God to do? How long have you prayed for your lost friends? What problem is going on at work that you're believing God to overcome? What hurdle and medical issue are that you're facing, your family members facing, that you are calling on God to overcome and win and bring about victory in? Are you praying for God to do anything that if He did it, there could be no human explanation for it? My wife jokes at me sometimes. Every once in a while, I kind of throw myself out there and I kind of put myself on an island. And, you know, a lot of times I kind of get made fun of or get laughed at. And it's okay. I'm a big boy. And as people of God, we ought to throw ourselves out on the mercy of God, believing Him. And that's not the example I'm giving, but I'm trying to make a connection that sometimes even just calling somebody's name, I believe it's Randy. Hey, Randy, how you doing? Hey, my name's Bob. Well, sorry. All right. But in walking by faith, what are you believing God to do that if somebody saw do it, they would say, man, He serves an amazing God. What are you asking God to do that we could only say, man, God did that? See my brother Sean back there. I'm hoping he'll share his testimony one day soon. Whose life have you looked at and you said, man, God has taken him out of a ditch, and now he's leading devotionals with his family. It is no secret. I told you I'm not going to sing. Sorry there, right? Do you believe? Do you walk in faith? The writer says, I don't have time to tell you all of the people that have believed God. I don't have time to tell you all the stories, but here are a few powerful people and testimonies of God's power and strength. Of people who were very weak, but they overcame. They conquered kingdoms. What does the scripture say? We've just talked about crossing the Red Sea. We've just talked about the walls falling down. We've just talked about people who were 90 and 100 years old having a child. We've just talked about all the things that we've seen and from this writer. But now we see more and more and more and more. By faith, who through faith conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Were made strong out of weakness. Became mighty in war. Put foreign enemies to flight. Man. Faith always involves the risk of putting yourself into a situation where if God does not come through, you will fail miserably. I think that's why sometimes preachers and a lot of my friends, we do the same thing. How many initiatives, how many programs, how many things have we started and we just watched them fail and fall? Maybe we didn't hear from God. Maybe our faith was weak. Maybe we just weren't going the right direction. But faith involves trusting and walking, almost like Peter walking on the water. Jump out in it. Believe God for it and to it and through it. And look to Him. Don't take your eyes off of Him. This is not to imply that we should be sloppy about preparation or planning. There's nothing spiritual about spontaneity. But it is to say that after all of our plans and preparation, we should be praying, God, if you don't work, this whole thing is going to be a colossal failure. Anybody ever been there? God, please, you got to do something. You got to do something, God. If you don't, then it's going to be bad. Like Peter that jumped out of the water, if God don't hold him up, he's going to drown, right? Pray with me that God would accomplish things through this church. This is one pastor talking about his church. He says, pray with me that God would accomplish things before through this church that can only be explained because he did it. Before you launch out onto something grandiose like reaching the Arab world for Christ, start on the personal level. I like this. We love to take those big things. Start simple. Don't try to conquer a kingdom. Try to conquer a secret sin in your life. It'd be a good place to start, wouldn't it? These heroes conquered kingdoms by faith. Have you conquered your anger or lust by God's power? See, the reason I'm going there is because this is in my notes and I've been reading through this and thinking through this. The heroes performed acts of righteousness or administered justice by faith. Have you applied your faith to your daily job or routine so that you reflect God's righteousness by your integrity and honesty? These heroes obtained promises by faith. Do you claim God's promises for the problems that you face in your personal and family life? These people were flawed people, but God uses them who trust in Him to accomplish things that are explainable only by His power. Look at verse 34. We'll continue to look at this. It says, they quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. They believed God to do big things. Do you believe God to do big things? I love Isaiah 43:2. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, though they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched or burned, nor will the flame burn you. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded, the scriptures say, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, no trouble or trial can prevent our progress toward heaven. Through divine grace, we will walk through the fire. They escape the edge of the sword. You know, I think about David hiding from Saul in the cave. I think about Obadiah. I think about Elijah hiding from wicked Jezebel and Ahab. Elisha also hiding out in caves. The prophets of old hiding in caves. They escaped the sword. They put their faith in the Lord and He delivered. He overcame for them. I love this. You've heard me talk about this when we talked about missions. The believer is immortal until God says it's time to come home. And don't get me started. That's why still wish I would see some of my friends that are still in hiding because of something that I know that's serious. But God's COVID shouldn't make us sit in our homes and never live life anymore. Because you're immortal until God says it's your time. Our days are numbered. No, we're not to be foolish. I'm going to put on my seatbelt. I'm going to do the things to do to be safe. But heaven help me, I pray I don't live in fear the rest of my life. What kind of life? Jesus, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. How are you going to flourish and live and experience abundant life when you're scared to come out of your home? We are immortal until God says it's time to come home. In the meantime, let us operate in the sphere of faith. For example, Jephthah in Judges 12. David escapes the sword. So Jephthah escaped the sword. David escaped Saul's sword. Elijah escaped the sword. It says they were from weakness, they were made strong. And this word means, comes from two words, without strength. Strength, bodily vigor. It means literally without strength or bodily vigor. Lacking strength. It can also refer to bodily disease or ailments. It's incapacity to do or experience something, an inability to produce results, a state of weakness or limitation. That's what the word weakness means here. And the same word in Paul used in 1 Corinthians 2 conveys the sense of weakness in terms of courage. But they were made strong. This word, this, the dunamo, remember dynamite, where we get our word dynamite. And all have the basic sense of ability or capability. It means to be enabled or speaks of an inerrant power which gives one the ability to do something. Which it means that the strengthening comes from the outside source, which is God. And the principle clearly implies is that when we are weak in ourselves, in our own strength, in our puny efforts, then we are strong is His endless source of strength, specifically in spiritual matters. It says they became mighty in war. Barak became, he manifested this in Judges. He became mighty in war. And we could go on and talk more and more and more. But let's go back to where we started. Faith is the victory. Faith is the key. Faith is the victory. Faith is the key. In word of application as we conclude here. The main point here is they all courageously and uncompromisingly followed God regardless of the earthly outcome. Because in the next part of verses, we're not going to get there this morning, but some were killed. Some are going to be sawn in two. Some are going to be afflicted to the point of, like I said, they're going to be martyrs. Some are looking for that great resurrection and they refuse to give in because of their faith. They believed God. The Bible, the scriptures clearly say that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It says that they, some of the ones that conquered kingdoms, remember, and I really wanted to really get into it. I'm not going to do it this morning. I may have to take some more time to look at this. What I really love about Hebrews 11 is we're talking in the new covenant, or the new promises of God, but we're looking back at the patriarchs and the Old Testament, and we're seeing the relationship of true faith. In the old and the new. And we're looking at the stories that show the faith of God's people. I really wanted to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. I wanted to talk about Daniel in the lion's den. It says they enforced justice. They performed acts of righteousness. These righteous kings like David and Solomon and Asa and Jehoshaphat and Josiah and Hezekiah. These were godly men that enforced justice. I hope your life is a beautiful picture of integrity and honesty, and that you live a life of faith in the way you conduct your matters around your family members and your business matters as well. Shut the mouths of lions, and that was Samson, David, and Daniel. Quench the power of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Encamped, escaped the edge of the sword, David from Saul, Elijah, Ahab. When weaknesses were made strong, remember Gideon, God gets the glory. People see and believe God. He's on his throne. He watches over his own. Remember, he cannot fail. He must prevail. Some of the other songs of faith, Brother Ken, and I'll leave you with this morning, is leaning on the everlasting arms. I pray that you are leaning on the everlasting arms. Another song I thought about, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. What about He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock? Like a river glorious is God's perfect rest. God transforms hearts. God moves mountains. God conquers enemies. God protects His own. Do you believe this? Christ is our picture of victory. He's the object of our faith. He has overcome, and by His blood, looking to Him and His finished work on the cross, we are overcomers. He conquered, and we are victorious over sin and death by trusting in Him and His death on our behalf. But also, this is our motivation. This is our power as we walk day by day. Faith is the victory. Let us put our hand in the nail-scarred hand. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. We believe, and so we have responded. We believe, and so we read, we study, we hide ourselves behind the cross. We boast in the cross. We know that Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. God, we thank You for that. And God, we say that You would help our unbelief as we seek to follow You and seek to be people of faith. We thank You for Your love and Your grace. We thank You that we are overcomers, that we are conquerors. We thank You that we are victorious in Christ, and that He has overcome. He is our victory. We trust in You, Father. And for those here this morning that have never placed their hope and trust in Jesus, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as Brother